Well, thank you so much for being here, for taking time out of your busy schedules. I know this day in particular at the church has been one that's been very full in terms of things that have going on at the church. And so thank you for making the investment of being here. I'm grateful. This is the first time we're doing a meeting like this, just for all musicians, anybody who wants to come, at least in recent memory. And we want to just take some time to let you know about things that we're planning for the future. We want to talk about changes that have been happening in the music and worship ministry, and also just talk and remind ourselves about what the main things are that we're trying to accomplish in terms of our worship of God, both in our hearts and how we think about music. So right now, Bob's going to come up, and Bob is going to share with us about what our call is as musicians here in this church. So, Bob, thanks for doing this.
Thank you. Thank you. Great to see so many of you out. Thank you for coming. Ken, thank you for putting this together. We did have one of these years ago, decades ago, probably, it seems like. But I would say that we're in a much different place now than we were. I think a number of years ago, we were trying to create a context where the musicians of the church could gather and be inspired and instructed and encouraged. And I would say that where we were at as a church in terms of using music for the glory of God far exceeds where we were a number of years ago. I just want to share for a few minutes on what it means for us to be musicians who are seeking to use our gifts for the glory of God. Some of you have heard this, portions of what I'm going to share, but it's always good to be reminded. You know, there are no parts of the Bible that speak specifically to musicians that say, you know, musicians have to be this way. But we can glean from the whole of Scripture that God has a particular concern for how music is used for His glory. And since we're musicians, we should take note of those things. And so I want to begin with a definition of a Christian musician that I came up with a number of years ago. A large portion of it was from stolen from Charlie Peacock, who wrote a book called, I don't remember the name of it at the moment, but where he was talking about Christian musicians and how we're to think of ourselves. So the definition is this: the call of the Christian musician is to faithfully make music in any context that reflects a grateful servant's response to the gospel. The call of the Christian musician is to faithfully make music in any context that reflects a grateful servant's response to the gospel. Now, I'm going to be speaking tonight particularly to making music in the church. Although many of these points can apply to making music in any context. So if you're making music in an orchestra as a Christian, it's different than making music as a non-Christian. And we have to think about it differently. Are you just starting to hear me now? Okay. Okay, great. Over the last few decades, maybe, especially since the 90s, music has been confused with worship. We use them almost interchangeably. We're going to worship now, and that means we're going to sing. And we've been trying for a number of years to break down or make that distinction more clear. We can use music to worship God, but playing music doesn't necessarily have to be worship. You can worship God without music. But when you put them together, what we're doing is using music for the glory of God. And that's what we want to do. That's what we want to seek to do. And Ken and I, Ken especially, but I'm kind of popping my head in whenever I can, believe God wants to see musicians in Covenant Life Church with a particular mindset, which is distinct from the way the world thinks about music. And so that's the first part of our call, actually, is a call to be distinct from the musicians of the world. 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world." It goes on to say that we cannot love the Father and love the world at the same time. And truthfully, a lot of the music that's produced in our culture, in our age, is of a more worldly characteristic, has worldly marks to it. And I don't mean the beat. I mean the reason it's created, the reason it's composed, and the reason it's listened to. The things that John mentions here, desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, pride in possession. So those are the things we want to avoid as Christian musicians. So that means we think of ourselves as Christians before we think of ourselves as musicians. There's no one who is a musician who just happens to be a Christian. You hear that phrase, you know, bands will say, well, yeah, we're just, you know, musicians, we happen to be Christians. No. Your call to be a Christian long preceded your call to be a musician. God chose you from before the foundations of the world to be holy and blameless in Jesus Christ. And that controls everything. That governs everything. We view music as a servant rather than a god. People often attribute supernatural powers to music, saying that it has the ability to control our thoughts and behaviors. And, you know, when we write or play, we come under the influence of a muse and, you know, all this kind of stuff. The Bible says that music is a created thing, just like everything else, that men and women are to exercise stewardship over. In other words, we're to use it wisely for God's glory, just like the rest of creation. So music is something that is meant to serve rather than something we are meant to serve. And I've known people who have gotten that mixed up and have ended up leaving the faith. Some of them have come back to the faith because they get that confused. Music is so powerful, it's so affecting, they start to serve it. And that's idolatry. So as Christian musicians, we want to make it very clear. We don't serve music. Music serves us, and it serves God's glory. Third, we use music to bring glory to God rather than ourselves. And this is a tough one because musicians are always getting up in front of people. You know, very few musicians think they've been called just to play in their room for the rest of their lives. Usually we imagine ourselves playing in front of a group of people, usually a very large group of people. And I remember years ago when I was on a Christian group, I would lie awake at night before I went to bed, imagining playing in front of thousands of people, you know, doing our songs, hearing our songs on the radio, and just letting my mind go wild with how God might want to use our music for His glory, of course. Suddenly inserting myself in the center of the picture and wanting me to receive glory for what I do. And, of course, it's a lot more subtle than that. It's comparing myself to other people all the time. You know, either they're better than I am or they're worse than I am. It's being really, really discouraged when I don't get picked to serve in some way, when I was wanting to serve in that way. And lots of times that's how God reveals what's in our hearts. We don't get what we think we should, and we respond in some dramatic way. Discouragement, despair, anger, just kind of cutting ourselves off. Okay, I don't even want to do anything in the music ministry. That just shows what's there, what's always been there. And it's a gift from God so that we can repent, receive forgiveness through Jesus, and go on to serve God with our musical gifts the way He intends us to. And then we recognize that truth outlasts tunes. Christian musicians realize that feelings produced by music can be deceptive, temporary, and shallow. Music can fool us into thinking that everything's okay when it's not. So truth outlasts tunes. Biblical truth matters more than creating good feelings in people. And so a Christian musician recognizes that. And recognize that doctrine and theology and biblical realities tell us how we're to use our music. That makes sense? Okay, that's our first call, to be distinct from musicians in the world. Second, we want, you know, before I go on to the second thing, I just want to thank you all, most of you anyway, some of you are very new, for being those kinds of musicians. for being the kind of musicians who say, you know what, I don't want to use my gifts for my glory. I want to use my gifts to glorify Jesus Christ. And as I talk about the other parts of a call of a Christian musician, I think of musicians in this church and how you have served faithfully, how you have served joyfully, how you have served humbly, and how that brings glory to God. As I've traveled around to different churches and different conferences and talked to people about, you know, musicians in their churches, sometimes I don't want to tell them what it's like at our church. You know, when they say that, well, you've got all these people who won't be a part of the team unless they get the solos. Or, you know, they won't come to rehearsals because they don't think they need to. Or all this gossip and backbiting going on among the musicians. I know, you know, that exists in Covenant Life, but I wouldn't say it's like the norm. And that's the grace of God. And it's His kindness and His mercy. And I just want to thank you all for setting up that kind of model to say that, you know what, it can be like this. Musicians don't have to be egotistical 24/7. We can actually learn to serve other people. We can actually learn to be humble by the grace of God. It's amazing. It's the grace of God. So thank you for being those kind of musicians. Okay, so second, a call to be faithful. Call of the Christian musician is to faithfully make music. Proverbs 22:29 says, "Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men." So the question that naturally arises is, how do you become skillful? And the answer is through practice. No one is born with innate skill that doesn't require practice. I read a book this past year, I think, called Talent is Overrated by Jeff Colvin. And the basic premise of the book is that what a lot of people perceive as gift is really the result of a lot more practice than anyone would ever conceive of doing. He has this quote. He shares this quote. "Frequently, when we see great performers doing what they do, it strikes us that they've practiced for so long and done it so many times, they can just do it automatically. But in fact, what they have achieved is the ability to avoid doing it automatically." In other words, they have practiced so much that they can actually think about larger things when they're playing whatever they're playing. And they're doing whatever they do. Something I heard early on in my piano practicing years was, don't practice until you get it right. Practice until you can't get it wrong. It's a huge difference. And it applies in, you know, many fields. When you study for something, don't study until you can remember it once. Study it until you can't forget it. That's how you know you'll do well on the test. And that's how you know you'll do well when you're in front of people. You know, how much practice does that take? I don't know. You have to find out. You know, it's different for different people. I mean, some of us do pick up things more quickly. But once you start picking up things, it sometimes makes you want to practice more rather than less. And the great musicians of the world never stop learning. They never stop growing. They always think there's something else I can pursue. And I know that, you know, in this room, we're not all thinking, well, yeah, that's me. I'm going to be one of the greatest musicians in the world. You don't need to be thinking that way. You just need to ask the question, can I be better than I am? Like, is there something that I always stumble over that always limits me when I get up in front of people? You know, maybe I can't hit a certain note as a vocalist, or maybe my break, it's always, you know, kind of rocky there. Or maybe I haven't learned to play certain chords on the guitar, or different voicings, or maybe I don't know my scales very well. I mean, whatever it is, a faithful musician, Christian musician, who wants to use their gifts for the glory of God will say, you know what, I'm just going to take the next step to find out what I can do to be better at what I'm doing so I can serve people more effectively. You're also faithful to be available. I know it can be challenging to have a bunch of gifted musicians in a church who spend all their time pursuing other interests, other activities, and other opportunities to play. You know, it doesn't matter how gifted you are if you're not available. So if you're thinking, well, how can I be faithful to use my music for the glory of God in the church context? Well, part of it's just saying, hey, I'm available these times. And not always having excuses when someone calls you up and says, hey, can you serve? Well, no, I guess my favorite TV show's on that night. And, you know, oh, well, I'd love to, but, you know, I've got to take the trash out that night or whatever. You're looking for ways to serve. You're looking for ways to make yourself available. You're seeking to be faithful. And we're faithful to watch our lives more than our music. And what helps me in this area is just asking, how would I feel if my worst scenes from the previous week were projected on the screen as I was in front of people? Like just my worst thoughts, my worst attitudes, you know. God just doesn't listen to our music. He listens to our lives. He watches our lives. And so if I want to be faithful, I want to be faithful not just in the musical realm, but in my life. So it's a call to be faithful. It's a call to be grateful. It's a grateful response. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It can be a temptation for musicians sometimes to feel like we're being taken advantage of, to feel like we're burning out. And let me assure you that that is not our desire, to for anyone's musical service to be so great that it affects your spiritual life or your relationships or your ability to have a normal life. But we can be tempted. You know, at different times we've come in early for rehearsals, have to stay late for different things. And we can be tempted to ungratefulness. So these are some things we can be grateful for. We can be grateful that God has saved us from judgment and brought us to Himself. Regardless of what else is happening, we can always be grateful for the gospel. We can be grateful that God gave us a musical talent at all. There are people in the world who have no musical ability. I've met them. Be thankful that God's given you the smallest portion of a musical gift for your joy and for His glory. We can be grateful that God gives us strength to develop our talents. So even the ability to practice and improve our talents is a gift from God. It doesn't come back to our glory. It's still a gift from Him. If I can practice 2 hours a day on something, God's given me the mental acumen and the ability, the physical ability to do that. And then we can be grateful that God produces any fruit through our musical gifts. We can be grateful that the music we play actually has a good effect on people. Sometimes. Maybe a lot of times. But anytime it happens, it's a gift from God. So we can be grateful for that. Then it's a call to serve because it is a grateful servant's response to the gospel. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others more significant than yourselves. And there are different ways we have been called to serve. We're called to serve in the ways we're needed. That means we may not serve immediately. And I know for those of you who are new, you're thinking, wow, I want to get involved. I'm ready. I'm available. I'm all those things he's talking about. Yes. And that slot may not be open yet. And can we be content with that? It may not be in the area where we really want to serve. You know, we have people come into the church and say, well, I really feel called to be a soloist. That's great. You know, why don't you hang around, become a member of the church? Why don't you get to know us? We get to know you. And, you know, we have an opening in Discovery Land. I don't want to serve in Discovery Land. Oh, okay. Well, that's the opening we have. So... So what do we do then? Well, I suggest what we do then is we look at our hearts and say, why am I serving anyway? What is this gift like, to impress, or is it to serve? And that means that at times we'll serve in ways that are not very public, that are not very, they don't garner much praise. It's just serving because there's a need. So if we're servants, we want to serve where we are needed. We want to serve for as long as we're needed. And I remember when I first came to Covenant Life 12 years ago, met with the team early on and said, none of us have a lifetime membership to the worship team. We don't receive a card when we join in, or a lifetime care group worship leading, or a lifetime discovery land, or whatever. We serve for as long as we're needed. We have different seasons of life. Different people come into the church. The church grows, and don't we want to see other people's gifts used? Well, if other people's gifts are used, that may mean that ours might not be required. And how do we handle that? Do we bristle and go, no, this is my position? Or do we say, great, and that leads to the next way we serve. We serve so that others might be needed. I think Ken's going to comment some on this. We're committed to making room so others can serve. There's a guy that was a part of a church I used to be a pastor at years ago, Neil Blackwell. He was a drummer, but he was not a very good drummer. And he acknowledged that. And he knew that. But we had no drummer. So he said, you know what? I want to serve the church, and I will play drums for as long as we need to. In fact, we didn't have a drum set, so Neil bought a drum set. And he said, I will play as long as you guys need me, and when someone better than me comes into the church, I will let him use the drum set. And I thought, oh, that is so glorifying to God. And that's exactly what happened. He played for a while, I don't know how long, and then some other drummers came in, and they used his drums. That is serving so that others might be needed. It requires humility that only God can give. We're all... Even as, however young you are, we're at one point, we're all going to be keeping the seat warm for the person who's going to replace us. And it's better for us to have that attitude from the start rather than to be shocked later on when it's time for us to move on to something else. It pleases God. It glorifies Him. When we are saying, Lord, I will serve wherever and whenever for as long as you want me to serve with my gifts, with my musical gifts, because they're yours. And when someone else comes along who's more godly than I am and who is better than I am, I want to be the first in line to say, use them instead of me. It requires getting the input of other people, because lots of times musicians are deceived about how gifted we really are. And we want feedback. Ask for it. We want to know really where we are. And I give you three categories to ask for input on. One would be just in the whole area of the heart. Am I desiring to please God? Am I humble? Another would be in the area of doctrine, theology. Just, do I understand what music is for and how it's to be used for the glory of God? And then the third would just be in the area of skill. How good am I? That's the one we're most drawn to. But the other two are important too. So we want to be asking others, make it easy for them to tell us how we're doing. And again, I just think of so many living illustrations in this church, both old and young. Think of Dave Campbell. I didn't see him here tonight. There he is. Yep, Dave. I mean, Dave, just have honored him for years and will continue to, because Dave has been playing longer than a lot of us have been alive. And yet, when he's asked to do something, I remember this for years when we used to have celebration events, conferences. Dave would say, well, why don't you ask somebody else? Why don't you let one of the younger guys play? And I thought, oh, that's so pleasing to the Lord. Just willing to step aside. And now he's investing his life in training the next generation. And guys like Jared Hoffman, who just is willing to serve wherever, whenever needed, doesn't feel he has to be the front and center. Just, hey, Discovery Land, sure. Hey, a little event, sure, I'm there. Same joy, same enthusiasm, same skill level that glorifies God. Finally, a call to keep the gospel central. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. We believe God wants us to be a company of gospel-centered musicians. Whatever your role is. And this is what the gospel does for us as musicians. The gospel reminds us that all our musical offerings are humbled and exalted by Christ's perfect sacrifice. And by that I mean this. No musical offering is going to be accepted by God apart from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's not good enough. It's tainted by sinful motives. It's tainted by the flesh. It's tainted by all the things that we bring to it. So that's humbling. God's not going to, you know, let us into heaven because of a certain riff we can play. Oh, that's amazing. Come on in. But the sacrifice of Christ also exalts our offerings, because when we offer them through Jesus, God accepts them as though His own Son offered them. It's amazing. Should free us up as we play to realize it's not all about playing all the perfect notes. It's about being aware of what Christ has done for us to make what we do pleasing to the Father. The gospel reminds us that music can never do what only Jesus can do. As powerful as music is, we don't want to attribute to it powers it doesn't have. Music can't change a life. Music can't save a soul. Music can't tell us that Jesus died to save us from the wrath of God and reconcile us to Him. Music can't bring us into God's presence. Only Jesus can. That's what the gospel helps us remember. And finally, the gospel reminds us that every song will ultimately be for the glory of Jesus Christ. Every song. Revelation 15, verse 2 and following says this, "And I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name, standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed.'" One day there won't be any mixed motives when we offer our music. It will all be purely and completely for the glory of the God who gave us music in the first place. We believe that by the grace of God and for His glory, we can see that evident to some degree while we're here. And that's what we're aiming for. That's what we're pursuing. And I am so grateful to be pursuing it with so many who want that and who desire that. And I want to thank Ken for having that vision, and not only having that vision, but seeking to do the necessary work to bring that vision to pass. Because a lot of things that are happening at Covenant Life right now, I've always dreamed of and hoped would happen one day. And under Ken's skillful and humble and diligent leadership, they are now happening. One example would be the orchestra just a couple Sundays ago. You know, always thought, oh, wouldn't it be great one day to have an orchestra, like an actual orchestra. And there we had an orchestra. So I thank God for you, Ken. And for just how faithful you use your gifts and seek to serve this church. So, thank you. Let's welcome Ken.
Bob's been talking about what it means for us to be Christian musicians as individuals. I want to take a little time to talk about what it means for us to be a Christian music community. What are we aiming for as a community of musicians here at the church? And that's where we're going to continue on in our outline. 5 main points about what we're trying to be as a community. First, we want to make music faithfully. Bob's been talking about what this means for us as individuals, to be faithful musicians. Well, it also has entailments for what we do together as a church. Colossians 3, we read this, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men." In that passage, Paul is talking to people. He's talking to husbands, wives, to children, to slaves, and he's giving them instructions about whatever station in life the Lord has put you, work hard at it. Do what I've called you to do. And that applies, and he says at the end of that, he just says, whatever you do, work heartily. And we want to apply that to this particular situation as well, to our working together musically. We want to work hard. We want to labor. We want to come to rehearsals with an expectation that, oh, yeah, let's really not just kind of, you know, do it together, but really work hard at this particular arrangement that we're trying to do. Most of the rewarding things, those of you who are able to play music very skillfully, you're able to do it in that way because you've worked hard for many years and years, and then you have the fruit of that later on where you're able to play just in a much easier way because of the work that you've done in the past. So in the same way, we want to be faithful in that. John Piper's used the phrase undistracting excellence, and we want that to be something that characterizes what we do when we're gathered together. We want it to be undistracting in the sense that people aren't thinking primarily about the music. They're thinking primarily about worshiping God. They're not wondering, you know, oh, this particular note, why was it that way? Or why is the band keep playing this way? Or, like, we just want it to be undistracting. But we want it to be really good. We want it to be excellent so that when people come in, they just say, oh, the Lord is so good. They're praising Him. I want to praise Him too. And they want to join in. Undistracting excellence is what we're aiming for. We want to work faithfully. We want to work hard in order to do it. And I'm laying these different things out just so that when I start to talk about specifically what we want to do over the next couple years, you have kind of the framework of what we're aiming for. Secondly, we want to use appropriate music. We want music to be, our music to be doctrinally rooted and gospel saturated. And that's something that isn't going to change. We want to sing songs that are filled with the truth of the Bible. A preacher, when he stands in the pulpit and opens God's Word, the only thing that the preacher ultimately has to offer is the unchanging truth of God's Word. And so similarly, when we're singing songs, we want to sing stuff about the eternal truth about what God has done for us in Christ. And we want to sing songs that are focused on the gospel. You know, we love stories in our culture. All cultures love stories. We love movies. We love books. Well, there's one story that overarches everything. And it's the one story that ties together all reality from creation to the fall to our lives now to eternity. And we live our lives often forgetting that we're living in the middle of this huge story. But we need to sing together to remind ourselves of that. We don't want to forget that we deserve God's wrath. We don't want to forget that we've been saved, that we have faith now in Him, that He changes us, that He's promised to keep us, and that we are going to be with Him forever. So we work hard at that. Within our culture, this is true of secular songs, and this is true of many Christian songs. They're about how we feel. And that's the primary, I feel this, I'm this way, I'm that. And it's good for us to emote to a certain degree. And the Psalms are filled with emoting, and we want to emote, and we want to use the affections and the emotions that we have when we're gathered together. But when you read Scripture, it's always rooted in what we're hearing about the eternal truth that's outside of us. So it says in the Psalms, praise the Lord, and then it gives us the reason that we're supposed to praise the Lord. And sometimes it's verses and verses of why we're supposed to praise the Lord. And then it says, praise the Lord again. We want to do the same thing in everything that we're singing. We want to keep giving the reasons so that we're filling our minds with that truth. Secondly, we want to ask, does it serve the purposes of the church? This goes for, you know, if you're in care group and you're selecting songs, if it's you're deciding what kind of song to write, does this particular thing that I'm considering serve the purposes of the church? Not all music has to be used for a church gathering, but primarily as a church, that's the things that we're focused on, whether it's a care group or Discovery Land or Sunday mornings. So you can just fill in the blank. Does this fill in the blank, serve the purposes of this meeting. It could be a song, a style, a grouping of instruments, a particular solo, a video display, or whatever it may be. We want to choose things that are really going to serve the purpose of the church and the needs in the moment. We have a gazillion ways to spend our time, a zillion ways to do music. I mean, just what's happened in the last 5 or 10 years in terms of you buy a computer and it has like all this software on it and you can spend like hours and hours just trying to perfect like this perfect song, or go on this website and this website lets you create music, or you learn a few chords and you could do enough to write a... Like, our possibilities, we have so much that we could do, and we have so many resources at our fingertips. And so we need to think about, well, why am I doing this? What is this going to serve? So we always want to pull ourselves back to that question. We want to choose music that's appropriate to our culture. Probably some of the most explosive conversations that happen in churches in regards to music are in relation to style. Churches break up because of conversations about style. And I thank God that this hasn't been a primary issue for us at Covenant Life. But the fact is that we have to pick what we're going to do. We have to make decisions about what we want our music at the church to sound like. And so it's good for us to say, not just this is who we are, but who should we be? What should our music sound like? We can't do everything. We shouldn't do everything. This whole discussion would be solved if the Bible simply would just tell us what we're supposed to do. But for some reason, God has chosen not to tell us what style to use. It doesn't tell us that drums please God and organs don't. It doesn't tell us that orchestras please God, but choirs don't. Or that spontaneous songs are better than ones that have been worked on for many years. The Bible just doesn't tell us that. Instead, God's allowed us to be ruled by biblical wisdom. And we want to be pursuing that wisdom. He's given us the broad contours of what things should be like when we gather together. We should be celebrating certain things. We should be confessing certain things. We should have a certain tone to our meetings. And by and large, what happens around the globe is that people worship in the style that's most common to their culture. This is one of the reasons that God hasn't given like this handbook in the Bible, or it's not an audio recording saying it's got to be this way. Because the Bible, it's a message of the gospel. It's telling us who God is, it's what he's done, how we're to respond. And it's a book that's intended not just for 2009 in America, but it's intended for the Dark Ages, it's intended for the Reformation, it's intended for people 200 years from now if the Lord tarries, it's intended for tribes in Africa, it's intended for people in New York City, it's intended for Indonesia, it's intended for everywhere. And it's, in a sense, it's ingenious. Well, the Lord does everything perfectly, but it's great, in a sense, for us that the Lord doesn't tell us what kind of music to do. Because he gives us certain directions about what our gatherings are supposed to be like, but then he gives us the freedom to do within our particular culture what is best going to serve the purposes of the gospel. And so we want to spend time thinking about that, discerning that, saying what's best going to serve the members of this congregation. How do they naturally sing? What is the music in our culture? What are we used to doing? What's going to speak to the person who enters? What we don't want to do is Christ is the stumbling block. We want people to stumble, if they're going to stumble over Christ. We don't want people to stumble over our music. We want to remove the difficulties. We want everything to just be crystal clear for anybody that interacts with us. This is what we're trying to say, both for our members and other people who join us. And that's the reason that we use the common musical language of our culture. And that's why we're going to continue to use it. That's what we're aiming to do. But at the same time, we don't just go for what's on Top 40 radio. We are interested in diversity for a number of reasons. First, we have a history that is rich in the Christian church. And we would be impoverishing ourselves if we didn't make use of the resources of the church in ages past. There are texts, there are things that have been sung that God has given to the church that we should make use of. We also want our singing to be a picture of what the church is meant to be like. Music is referential. Music doesn't just refer to itself. But when you hear a particular beat, it reminds you of a certain artist, a certain era, a particular ethnic group, a particular dance move, a particular, like, music refers to things. And so when we're doing that, when we're making music, we are a diverse body. There should be some reflection that, boy, the church isn't monochromatic. God's redeemed people from all these different backgrounds, from all these different cultures. And praise the Lord. And what we want the net effect to be, that when people come to Covenant Life, that they would not just say, oh, it's that kind of church, they do things that way. But they would say, oh, the gospel is great, and look, it affects this, and it affects this, and oh, wow, I can praise God in that way, and oh, we could praise the God in this way. And it brings glory to His name, and it reflects what God is doing in the church and gathering people to Himself, and it points us to that future day when every tribe and tongue, people and nation is going to be around His throne, and we want that to happen. Music also just affects us differently, different ways. You can sing something one way, and it may not affect you. You can sing it a different way, and it may affect you in a different way. And so, just by the sheer variety of what we're able to do, it enables us to serve the congregation in different ways. We don't want to just get along with diversity. We want to embrace it and celebrate the fact that God has made the gospel the one thing that unites us. Next, in terms of what we're trying to accomplish musically here at the church, we want to train the next generation. We want to see the gospel transferred to the next generation. We want to emphasize the main things again and again and again. We want to prevent the next generation from making the mistakes that we've made. And we want to make as few mistakes as possible so that they don't have the temptation of trying to correct and go the total opposite direction that we did on particular issues. We want to use our gifts not only to use the particular talents that God has given us, to use them to serve in the church, but also to multiply ourselves and set the next generation up for success. When church plants come in the future, we don't want to have to wonder where our musicians are going to come from for church plants. When we train people, we want to think not just about, boy, we need more musicians for the worship team, but we want to be training them so that they have the joy of expressing praise to God in the same way that all of you know the joy of expressing praise to God through voices, through instruments. We want them to be able to lead their families in song. We want them to be able to lead their care groups, to be able to just serve in a variety of ways. We want to pass the baton to the next generation. Next, one of our goals as a musical community is just to spread it liberally. And by this, I'm not talking about liberal and conservative. I just mean take what the Lord has given to us, and where we can use it to help other people, do that. So the Lord has given us resources at Covenant Life that, like, I have relationships with the worship leaders in other Sovereign Grace churches in the area. And sometimes I'm kind of ashamed to talk about what we're doing here at the church and, say we were thinking about doing this and, oh yeah, we have, 15 people who can play this instrument like wonderfully, and they're like just hurting for one person. And we have people who can write songs, who can arrange things. What we want to do is take the resources that God has given to us and spread them with other people. And this isn't something that we've been doing a lot in the past, but I'm hoping to do more in the future, and I'll be telling you more about that a little later on. And then we want to continue to change what we're doing wisely. Whatever we're doing here at the church, we don't ever want our music to, in a sense, be a monument to itself or be, this is the way we do it. We want to be adaptable. We want to see what really is going to serve the needs of the church and to continue to change things. Now, I want you to turn to the diagram that's on the next page that shows you where musicians are serving in the church. So this is where many of you are serving. Some of you are serving in Discovery Land. Some of you are serving in care groups. Some of you are serving through the Music Academy. Some are serving on Sunday morning. What I want to do now is to just make you aware of what God is doing in different parts of the church. Want to do this for a couple reasons. First, our goal is not to build some gigantic music program. We're not aiming to do that. We don't want music and our efforts in music ever to eclipse other gospel priorities. And so the way we're trying to build things is, in a sense, modular so that they're changeable. We're not building things that programs that have a rehearsal every week that are just requiring lots of time and we just want to do it better and better and better and better. We do want to keep doing things better, but we want to do things in ways that enable you to be able to invest in your families, invest in other areas of the church, and use your musical gifts. God is at work through many of you in different areas. I just want you to know what God is doing. And also, I want to go through some of these different areas just so you know what we're desiring to do in the future. We want your input. We want your help. All of this doesn't happen without people being involved and volunteering. And we just want your input on it. We want your prayers for it. And want when things change over the coming years, that you understand why they're changing. So first, I want to talk just a little bit about Sunday mornings and what we've been doing. Over the last few years, we've tried to increase the breadth of what we're doing on Sundays. We've expanded the worship team to include more people than we ever have in the past. We used to have three people leading on Sundays, Bob, Devin, and myself. Since then, we've added three more guys who are leading, Judah Groveman, John David Maresco, and Mike Bradshaw. The Lord's been bringing people with just amazing backgrounds. The Lord's provided enough people in the last year for us to be able to do an orchestra. Just grateful for the people the Lord is bringing to this church. I remember when we tried to do it 4 years ago, it was a quote-unquote orchestra. But now we have people that we can really do one. So we're just grateful for the people that the Lord is bringing. The choir, I've been seeking to grow that. And we've been trying to do other things just to change things up from time to time. Just to take that, what we were talking about, the diversity, the variety, to make that really come out in our Sunday meetings. And that takes these different groups. Now, we're kind of at a point where we're going to shift gears. We've been adding some of this breadth. And really the time has come that, okay, now we just need to work on the depth of each one of those things that are happening. The goal isn't to just, you know, infinitely keep adding different things that just keep changing. What we want to do is have each of these groups sing and play more effectively. So just first about the worship team. For the worship team, we're really kind of in between a worship team and a band model. This is a conversation that's happening in the worship world. People are talking about what's the best way to set up the musicians that play on Sundays in your church. The worship team model is really one where there's a leader and there's also musicians who play different instruments. Those different musicians rotate. Usually the leader stays same. And just people are interchangeable. You can just move things around, do things different on different weeks. The band model is more like a rock band that you'd hear on the radio in the sense that it's a group of musicians who always play together. So this bass player, this drummer, this guitar player, this keyboard player, they always play together. There's advantages and disadvantages to both. The advantage of the worship team is it enables many people to serve. It enables us to try out different things. And oftentimes it works better with people's schedules and with real life. The band model is one where the advantage is that the people they're able to play together much more proficiently. You can play together much better if you've played with this person 5 or 10 times. You don't have to tell them, like, you know, when I go like this, this means go to the chorus. Like, you just start to get to know each other. And so what we've been trying to do has been to do a little bit of both. We're doing the worship team model because it really seems to reflect who we are as a congregation in many ways. And it allows us to be able to do a variety of different things and serves people's schedules. But we're also seeking to use bands in a way that enables us to really kind of hone in on some of those sounds and let some of those musicians develop together. For the orchestra, we hope to have the orchestra play somewhere around 4 to 6 times a year in the coming year. So looking forward to doing more with them. One limitation that we currently have with string section and brass section and orchestra and also somewhat with choir is just the amount of arranging that's required for those. If we were doing the most popular songs that were out there, I could go online or go to these different publishers and just like get their stuff and we could sing it and it'd be great. The problem that we have is that we're doing primarily Sovereign Grace music, and because we wrote the music, you can't buy the arrangement. Like, we wrote it, if there's going to be an arrangement, we have to come up with it. So that's kind of the area that really we need to spend more time working on in order to be able to do some of these different things. So if any of you have the gifting to be able to do some of that arranging and would have a desire to, it's a specialized skill, but to be able to just compose music that fits in with congregational songs, I would love to talk with you more. We have a few people who are doing it, and we'd love to have more so that we're able to do some of these things more in the future. And also the Sunday choir, thank you to those of you who sing in the Sunday choir. Every time you sing, it just inspires me to lift my voice to the Savior, just seeing your love for the Lord, just leading us. I'd like to see that group increase in size. Make it something like 50 voices. And what the choir really is, we want it to be the starting point for all new vocalists in the church. So anybody who, you know, we may consider having sing on a Sunday with a microphone, and also just other vocalists in the church, it's just kind of the place where a lot of vocal training happens, where and we're increasing trying to do that more. Next thing down, music production. I want to just let you know about a few things that we're hoping to do over the coming year. We have songwriting here at the church. Has been on again, off again, with different folks doing little bits and pieces. Feel like we're getting to a season now where we're going to be able to do more intentionally in terms of songwriting here at the church. Not just for Sovereign Grace as a whole, but also here at the church and developing songwriters. We want to just start to do more songs that are written by members of the congregation that reflect what God is doing in us in a particular season. So if we're in a series like we've been in Proverbs and talking about self-control, and like, it'd be great to just have some people writing and, you know, work on a song, and a couple weeks later, hey, let's sing this song in response to what God is doing in our midst. We'd like to be able to do more of that. One thing that I'm excited to let you know about is a Spanish language CD. This is a project that's been percolating for a little while, and it's going to be a joint project between Covenant Life and Gracia Soberana. Mauricio Velarde is a singer-songwriter at Gracia Soberana, and just great tunes. And what we're going to do is record an album in the Sovereign Grace studio. He'll be the lead singer. We'll use some Covenant Life musicians. And the goal really is to be able to produce the kinds of songs that we've been talking about that are gospel-centered, that there aren't a ton of in Spanish. And Joselo Mercado, the senior pastor at Gracia Soberana, said, boy, I mean, he just needs songs. And so we're excited about working on that project. Also hope to do a Covenant Life CD, a CD of original songs written by members of the church. And Dave Campbell is going to be the one who's doing the recording for that album. And so if you have any songs that you'd like to submit for that, we'd love to hear them. And you can send songs in either to me or to Dave. Other things, and this is more longer term, just things that we're considering doing. And I'm letting you know this so that if you have the ability to write, you can send things along. And I'd like to do a project in the future of songs written by our youth. We did a songwriting competition for the Music Academy the last couple years. Some great songs have come through. And would love to do a project just of songs that youth in our congregation have written. We have a number of songs for children's choirs through the Music Academy. Would love to record some of those. In the future, we'd like to do more scripture memory CDs. And so if we're working through particular passages, and if you're like me and you can't remember the verses unless you write a song for it, and you're doing that, send them in. I want to hear them. We just want to do more in the future in terms of getting members of our church into the studio, just to get experience recording. And it's a very different skill to know how to perform when you're recording than it is doing it live. So we're hoping to do more of that in the future. Another thing that we're hoping to do, and again, this is, I'm telling you all of the hoping and wanting to do kinds of things, because it requires help in doing these things, and also so that those of you who can contribute can do so. We want to distribute what we've been doing on Sundays more broadly. Bob and I have been talking about ways that we could put online Sovereign Grace, like three-part vocal arrangements, so like what the choir would sing on a Sunday, soprano, alto, tenor. We'd make that available so a church that has an alto that can't come up with parts but wants to know how to do the parts, they could download those, or other different arrangements that we've done. And so we're working out some of the details in terms of how that would be possible. Right now, I'd like Dave Wilcox to come down. I didn't tell Dave when in this time I'd ask him to come down. But I asked Dave to talk to you briefly. Dave and I, each Sunday or each Tuesday, we have a meeting where we review what happened that Sunday. Dave is responsible for all of our production teams, sound, lighting, video. And we're talking frequently about what we did that we really liked, that we didn't like, what can we improve. And more and more, I'm just realizing that the kinds of people that really serves Dave's teams are the kind of people that have musical experience, because we're often thinking the same way. And so I wanted to Dave just to come and tell us what's going on with his teams. So Dave.
Well, thanks, Ken. I just want to give you a brief introduction to the production teams. Production teams is probably a too big of a word, in the sense of we're not all about production. We're about the gospel. But that the production teams include sound, lights, live video, and sermon recording. And I wanted to give you the two goals of those four teams, just so that you can see that what Ken does and what you do in the music and what we do with the production is all in line together. And we really are partners in the gospel together. Our first goal for the production teams is what I call reach. So in Matthew 10:27, Jesus told his disciples this. He said, "What I have told you in secret, I want you to shout from the housetops." And that's what we do with sound systems and video systems, is we attempt to shout from the housetops this glorious message of the gospel. And so we want to see the gospel reach more people, and that's why we do technology, not just to be culturally relevant or to be cool. Our second purpose is for clarity. When Paul was asking for prayer associated with his preaching of the gospel, he said, "Pray that I would make it clear as I ought to speak." And that's our intention as well. We want to make sure that not only do we reach a lot of people, but that we present a clear gospel. Now, obviously, we don't create the content. The pastors and you, who make the music and write the lyrics, create the content. But our intention is to do exactly what Ken said, which is to not distract from the good truth that lies in those messages and in those songs. And so we have those two goals, four teams and two goals. We want to reach as many people as we can, and we want to do so presenting a clear gospel to them. As Ken said, we have common gifts that serve our teams together, and we have common goals. And so I wanted to just ask a couple questions. So how many of you, just, you know, this is a good evaluation, how many of you can honestly say that at some event that you've been at, you've seen the guitar player up there, and that's basically what you've heard, too, of the guitar player? You're like, "I can see them playing, but I can't hear it." So good. Hey, that's, well, it's not good, but that's normal, okay? So how many of you have noticed at times that you wonder, can those musicians hear each other as they're playing? Sometimes they can't always tell where the other people are going. Those are, in many cases, a situation where the person on the sound crew could serve to support that by either being back at the main board, providing an even mix between the different instruments, or over here at our monitor board where they provide the sound that each of the musicians hears. And people like you who have musical skills and experience and sensitivity can contribute so significantly on the sound team in particular. I also just want to mention one other area. Now, this is with all due respect to Bob and John David and Ken and all the worship leaders up here. But my question is this. When you sing on Sundays, how many of you believe you actually are singing what the worship leader is leading you to sing? Okay, well, kind of, maybe. Or do you sing what you see on the screen as opposed to what you hear the worship leader sing? Yep. So how many of you are listening for the worship leader and then you sing? Probably not many. How many of you are looking up at the screen and singing what you read? That would be probably most of you. So we need people on the video team to put those lyrics up at the right time so that they're anticipating and they know the musical transitions and they're able to put those words up there so you can sing what the worship leader is singing when he's singing it. So those are just a few examples. There are other ways, too, where you may have experience with your computer recording systems. You may just be good at sensing the rhythm of speech. Those things are helpful in both the sermon recording area, the video area. And I just wanted to just let you know that your gifts are not just something that could be used in a musical setting using your instrument that you've practiced on, but you could also participate in one of the production teams. Ken asked me to put together a little chart that would say like where you could potentially jump in, but if you just look at the one that you already have that Ken has made, in effect, everything in those first two columns requires sound support or video support, and we would love to have your involvement in those ways. So if you're interested, please feel free to see me afterwards or sign on the sheet. I think there's a form you'll have. And just thank you for your partnership in the gospel. And thank you for being the type of musicians that it's a joy to see your work spread and amplified everywhere. Thank you.
To Dave and everybody who serves on the production teams, we are so grateful. Boy, I hate to think what things would be like if your teams weren't serving as effectively as they are. We really are two teams serving together. Let me tell you about a few more areas. Worship leader training, this is something that Bob and I have done in the past, just trying to train men to lead others in song. And so if you have a desire to learn that, we'd love to hear from you. One thing that I'd like to start up to be able to serve you guys is to start a regular e-newsletter, regular email kind of thing that goes out to all musicians and just lets you know about resources that are available. There's just so much stuff that I think, oh, I could send this along to people and this would be helpful, and oh, I wonder if people know that this is going on, and just something that you could very quickly read. No, okay, great, got that email, and just kind of keeps us all up to date. I need somebody to help me with that, somebody that's somewhat web savvy, has a ability to write things clearly, and if you have a desire to help in any way with that, please let me know. To let you know a little bit about this year's Christmas production, the Christmas production this year is, this stage is going to, well, somewhat look like an airport. The scene for this year's production is a bunch of people on Christmas Eve snowed in at the airport, not able to get home. And it's believers and unbelievers they're playing believers and unbelievers who are talking about how they wish they could be at home for Christmas and they can't be at home for Christmas. And what does Christmas mean to you? And what does the Bible have to do with all this? And so it's a conversation that we'll see played out on stage. So, excited about that. Kathy Mays and Kara Wilcox have been writing the script. A couple things that are happening. There's a massive dance number that's going to happen in it. And there was something in the quick read about that. So if any of you are interested in participating, you can. The kind of thing we're trying to do, there's this video on YouTube where, well, there's zillions on YouTube, but there's one about, it's in a train station, and they're doing the sound, all of a sudden the Sound of Music starts, and like it turns into this dance number. And if you search Sound of Music Train Station on YouTube, you will see the kind of thing we're trying to produce on stage. And then also choir. We'll have a large choir again for Christmas. Anybody who can sing and is high school and age and up and wants to participate is more than welcome to join the choir. You can email Erin Jones, ejones@covelife.org, and she will give you information. Just want to thank all of you who are serving in Discovery Land. We've mentioned that several times. It's become more and more a context where younger musicians and older musicians are serving together. And it's just been wonderful for us to see that, how, for instance, like Joe and others are just spending their time helping younger musicians learn how to play in bands. And we're just very excited about that. One of the other things we've recently added to Discovery Land has been vocal coaches. They come in once a month and help the lead worshipers who are singing and dancing on stage learn how to have proper vocal production and how to think about parts and just how to think about singing. And so we're continually looking for people who would be able to serve and train youth in that way. Care group worship leaders, thank you for the way that you serve your care groups. If you have a desire to serve in your care group musically, the thing to do is to talk to your care group leader. Each care group does it differently. And we've one of the best things that has helped us in many things has been this website, Planning Center Online. And it's just a real simple way of getting tools. So we've made that available to all of you who are leading in care groups. If there are other ways that we can serve you more effectively, please let us know. We want to help you in whatever way we can, and we'd love to hear from you. A few things about the Music Academy, and then we will wrap up. Music Academy, the official start of that began in we began working on it in 2006 and officially launched in 2007. And I'm just so grateful to all of you who have contributed thus far to the Music Academy. It really grew out of a desire to see the young people in our church trained musically. Music Academy is a subset of the music ministry of the church, but it also partners with parents, with FSP, with CLS. And it's run, Ben and Nancy Chouinard oversee the day-to-day operations of the Music Academy. I work along with them. And then many of you are serving in helping to train the next generation. So what we've been talking about, we want to train our young people. This is one primary way that we want it to happen. The big change for the Music Academy this year has been our new collaboration with Covenant Life School. Jamie Leach, the new principal at CLS and one of our pastors, came from a church where like 75% of the high school was in choir. And there was just lots of musical involvement. He came here to be the principal and he said, like, there aren't very many kids in CLS that are involved musically. Why is that? What do we need to do? So we started talking and we began a more formal partnership. Basically, what we've been able to do is build classes into the end of the school day. And that enables kids to be able to take choir, take band during the day. And also enables the Music Academy to be able to serve a larger number of people. CLS can do a lot more than if they try to do things on their own. And it also enables us to involve you in terms of training the next generation. So we're able to accomplish much more, and we're able to allow you to be able to help train some of these young people and just see them grow up musically and theologically and in their love for the Lord and in helping them make the connections between serving the Lord musically and all that he's called us to do. One of the things that that's changed, basically now all the kids that attend Covenant Life School in grades 1 through 10 are a part of either band or choir. So that we just have a ton more kids involved in the choirs. And so for the choirs, we're still looking for more accompanists for the groups. Some of the groups meet Tuesdays and Thursdays from 2 to 3. Some meet just on Thursdays from 2 to 3. And so if you play piano and could help out with that, we'd love to get your help. We also do have needs for more vocalists who would be able to help provide some of that training and would be available during that time. One exciting change for us in the string department this year, Joel and Susan Fuller joined the church this past year. Joel plays violin with the National Symphony, and Susan is the Suzuki string chair at the Levine School of Music. So they're both kind of string powerhouse kind of people, and they are helping train some of our young string players. So we're excited about that happening. We have like 28 kids in beginning band this year, I think. So we've got so many flute players. All the girls want to play flute. I don't know why. So our secret weapon in that has been Ben Chouinard. He's able to write pieces in a way that basically if you're just starting out, like you can't play very many notes, but we're not at the size of a program where you can just buy pieces and then like, okay, it's at the right level and all that kind of stuff. So he specifically arranges each of the pieces so that if somebody can play five notes, they play five notes. And if somebody can play like really complicated stuff, they get the complicated part. So we're trying to do more and more arranging like that, and he's enabling us to be able to make some of those things possible. Now, in all of that training, though, what's been happening is we've been able to start the Lord has allowed us to be able to have a string program, to be able to get kids in beginning band, enabled us to be able to do vocal training. One thing that I've wanted to be a part of the Music Academy from the beginning, but isn't really a part of the Music Academy, is training in how to play in worship bands, or for lack of a better term, a school of rock, learning how to play together in a band context. And so that's something that we're really looking to invest time and energy in this year. What the current way that it looks like it's going to pan out is doing one Saturday morning a month where we invite the youth in the church. We do it downstairs in the school so that if there's a wedding up here, like they're not like playing rock band music right next to where the bride's trying to get ready and that kind of stuff. But have a time when, okay, we get the youth together, we divide them up into bands, and you guys play together, and we're going to come in and just say, no, I think the kick needs to go with the drums there or with the bass there, and just really work on how do you play together in a band and have that kind of training happening. Right now, we're really at a point with the youth where we really need to kind of start over for the youth band. We had some great musicians. Brett Jansen was leading a band. For the last 2 years, they've done great. They all graduated. We have to start doing stuff again. And so we're hoping that this is just an ideal time for us to be able to start our little school of rock. So if you have the ability to have played in worship teams and would have a desire to help out with something like that, I'm looking for people who would be available once a month to participate in helping train them in how to play in bands. And that would be vocally as well. I want to do vocalist training. Summer musical. We had the first summer musical this year for third through sixth grade singers and for a broad variety of ages on instruments. We did the show 100% Chance of Rain. And the reason for doing this is that we felt like high school, there's these opportunities to do stuff dramatically. But in the younger ages, we kind of like had all the kids like coming to like three of the five shows that the drama was doing, and they really loved it and wanted to be a part. And we wanted to see more training happen for them, but we weren't able to provide anything. So we said, okay, let's take a 2-week block in the summer. work them like crazy, give them experience doing stuff like that. And what it does is it propels students from getting an experience like that. It makes them want to be involved more the next year because you get a sense of, wow, we could accomplish something like that. And it gives them a vision for what can be accomplished together musically and also helps them discern their gifts. So right now, Patty Goodling is working on a script for next year. We're not sure if we're going to do something pre-written. We're considering doing something using songs from the Sovereign Grace Kids CDs, and that would be something that we can distribute to others potentially in the future as well. So summer musical, we're also looking for help with that this coming summer. That's probably going to be the last week of July and the first week of August. Now, not all of these ideas are going to happen immediately, but we do hope that over time the Lord is going to enable us to continue to serve more effectively so that we're serving those of you, so that musicians are using their gifts to serve the rest of the church effectively, and we are proclaiming the gospel clearly. Now, what I want to do to close, if you look at the last sheet, the last sheet says, your response. And basically, we didn't want this evening to be a one-way conversation. I want to hear back from you. This isn't a recruiting seminar, but we do know that many of you would want to be involved. We also know we've talked about a variety of things, and we just want to hear from you. We want to know what God is doing in our musical community, and that also affects somewhat the way that we plan things in the future. So here are the questions. In what ways are you currently serving? In what ways do you have a desire to serve? Are there any ways in particular that this evening has spoken to you? Are there any ways that we can serve you more effectively? Are there any changes or additions you'd like to see in the worship and music ministry of Covenant Life? So just open-ended. We'd love to hear from you. You don't have to feel like you have to fill out this form. We're just going to take a few minutes. And Dolores down here has some pencils if anybody needs one. Eric's got some back there. Just raise your hand if you need one, if you want one, and we're just going to take a few minutes just to get your feedback. Just want to take a few minutes, and Bob had the suggestion, he just said, we should just talk. So we want to get just, if you have any feedback now that you want to say verbally, we're still going to keep filling out the forms, but if you have any questions, any comments, anything that you'd want to share now, we'd welcome that as well. So, Dolores. Yeah. Yeah. For those of you who couldn't hear, Dolores was just talking about for the youth, typically what's happened for the 1031 meetings is that there's been just a particular band that's been serving and just a desire to see more youth involved. And just in the way in Sundays there's a diversity of musicians being used, so seeing something similar happen with the youth. I think there's definitely a desire to involve more people. We'd love to be able to do that. The practical... It, in a sense, gets back to what we talked about with, kind of like the worship team model versus the band model and what you're able to accomplish with the band. One of the things that we find is it takes a lot of work just to get to the place where we can play together and it sounds good. And also, Dave Campbell has just been doing a heroic job in terms of training youth and many, many youth. And working hard with those bands. The limitation we have is that Dave is just one guy. So we'd love to have more people involved in that training of the youth. And as we have more people involved in training them, then we're going to be able to involve more. So, yeah, that's definitely a desire to be able to involve more people in the future. Oh, vocalists as well. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there would be a desire to include more. Oh, that's a good idea. It's a great idea. We might have to move the location from somebody's basement to the church. It's a good idea. Yeah. I don't have a sense of, we've contacted all the care group leaders and got information about who was leading in their music in their groups. I don't remember what the number was, but it was a sizable number. And honestly, in the care groups that I've been a part of, sometimes we've done music and sometimes we haven't. And in the past we have provided some training for care group worship leaders, but that's a great reminder that we should do that again. Basilica is asking about just different musical styles. Some people thinking hymns are spiritual and rap is evil. And thankfully, I believe that many of those misconceptions aren't as strong as they used to be. It's a double-sided coin. Music in itself is not absolute. So there's not one particular style that God loves and another particular style that God hates. Any style can be used for God's glory. That being said, a lot of people love the hymns because that's what they grew up on, and it was associated with church. And rap music was associated with worldly stuff because that was the most content of most of the lyrics. So music is referential in that way. That really has changed in many respects in our culture, but it doesn't change the way that we approach the issue as a whole. You know, rap can be used for God's glory, hymns can be used for God's glory, but it's understandable why some people would have that concern. Now, if someone did have that concern, I'd want to draw them out and just find out what their concerns were, because I think they may have associations with that type of music that are understandable, but would also want to say, yeah, just because it's been used for that evil purpose doesn't mean that that's the only purpose it can be used for. It can be used for a good purpose, and here's some great examples of how that can happen. It's a broader discussion, and I'm thankful that that I'm not fighting about rap music and hymns too often. It's a good question. We'll just take these two, and then we'll be done. Yeah, Patty. Do you mean in particular? So like, instead of having them in Discovery Land, have them be the ones who are leading us in singing and that kind of thing? Yeah. Yeah, I think first of all, thank you for being the one who's made what we've done in the past be so possible. We're so grateful for it. there hasn't been any reason for not doing it. It's just that we haven't. So, and all the times in the past that we've done it, it's worked wonderfully, and it's just a great reminder to do that again. I've thought about it, haven't pursued it, but I think it'd be a good thing to do again. One thing that I would like to do, now that we've established some of these different groups, is to be able to give more time to particular series like that. So, either a musically-oriented series, or doing a series where we focus on different aspects of expressiveness, or, you know, series on different attributes of God that we're focusing on in different Sundays. I think those are all things that we can pursue in the future. And that series served my soul as well. So, yeah, I'd love to do it. Great. Bob. Yeah, go ahead.
Am I on? Sounds like it now. First, can we thank Ken for just putting all this together? Yes. Thank you so much. Just great. Just faith-building, inspiring, informative. I want to just paint a quick picture for how to think of yourself like as part of the music community at Covenant Life Church. It's like, and this is a sports analogy, and I usually don't like to use sports analogy because I usually talk about like the basketball player making a touchdown or, you know, stuff like that. So, but I think it'll work. We are like a football team where you have, I don't know, 40-some guys on the team, but usually only about 22 players get out on the field, and they get, you know, even a smaller number get all the praise and all the attention. But it is a team. And there's no football team that just has 22 players. Everybody practices. You know, guys don't say, well, I'm not coming to practice because I'm not playing. Well, they're off the team then. I mean, they're fired. They don't have a job. We're like that in that it takes a lot of people to provide music for Covenant Life Church. And as I was thinking about, you know, our church and some of the gifts that God has given you younger people, as well as the older people, but I'm just thinking, you know, of the future. We really have some extraordinary gifts in this church. We have some musicians who could have an impact far beyond Covenant Life. And that's great. And I'm real excited. We're real excited about, because Ken's doing all the work. We're real excited about investing in those gifts and seeing them be all that God wants them to be. But you know what? We are just as excited about making someone the best Discoveryland vocalist they can be. And just as enthused about that. Because at the end of the day, it's a matter of how faithful you have been. We can't control the fruit of our gifts. We can't control how many people will be affected by what we do. All we can control is how faithful we are to develop our gift, how faithful we are to serve, how faithful we are to do it with joy. And as each one of us plays our part, I just get real excited about all that God will do and all that He has been doing. I mean, it's already been taking place, but there's just more to come. And I would never want, we would never want anyone to think, well, you know, I don't have like a main position, so I'm just a musician. You are a musician redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you exist for His glory. And your musical gifts have been given to you for His glory. Now, God gives different measures of gifts to different people. You know, we have two parables about that. Some, you know, we get the one talent, some get the two, some get the five. The one talent person didn't have to go bury his gift, his talent. He could have invested it. So if you think you're a one talent person, you might be. That's okay. It's okay not to be as good as someone else. Just make sure that you're faithful to take the time to invest it for the glory of God and the good of His people. Because you don't know who God wants to bless through you. You have no idea. But just being here tonight and hearing Ken talk and seeing all that's taking place just built my faith for, just made me grateful for what God has done and built my faith for what He wants to do in the days to come. So thank you for investing the time tonight to be here, to be inspired and instructed in these things. It's really appreciated.
I've thanked you in the past, but I just want to thank you again. Really, what my job is taking care of practicals based on what you've taught for years and years and years about what it means to be a faithful musician and what you taught us on. So really what has been able to happen really is only possible, humanly speaking, because of the investments that you've made. So thank you for doing that. And thank you for serving us so well this evening. We are grateful. Can you close us in prayer?
Father, we thank you for your mercy to us. Day after day of mercy through Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have placed us, each of us, in this church to bring glory to you through the various gifts you've distributed to each one of us. Father, we thank you that you do give different gifts and that it's you wisely distribute these talents and these gifts for reasons that we don't have to know. We just are grateful that you do it and you do know. And we do want to be faithful. We want to be stewards of the gifts that display your grace in various ways. Whether we sing or play the drums or guitar or bass or keyboard or saxophone or flute or whatever we play. We want to do it and we want to develop our talents for your glory. And not assume that because we spend a lot of hours investing time into practice that we will be used proportionally. We want to do it to be available. We want to do it to be ready. We want to do it for your glory. So we ask that you would increase our faithfulness and our faith, that you would take our meager, sin-stained gifts, our offerings, and use them to advance the gospel and bring glory to your name and to build your church. God, we thank you for music and the way it affects our hearts. We've all been affected at various times. That's a gift from you. And thank you that you've allowed us to participate in using music as a way to encourage others. We ask that we might do it more and more. We ask that you might give us the unity of your Spirit, that we might with one voice glorify you, our God and Father, through Jesus Christ. That there would be a hatred of divisiveness and gossip and backbiting, that we would flee comparison and discouragement and envy and jealousy, and we would excel in encouragement and joy and gratefulness. And may more musicians join our ranks. May other musicians be added to this church who we can come alongside of and be an example to and be an encouragement to. We thank you. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for all that you're going to do. And we thank you that it has all been made possible by your grace through Jesus Christ. Amen.